You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai Show with Robert Lee and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai Show. And in one of the greatest sporting comebacks of all time, Tiger Woods is the Masters champion again. Now that's a sentence I'm not sure I nor anyone else thought they'd ever say.
Just to come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the little things well this week and to do it here meant so much to me and my family. To have everyone here, it's something I'll never ever forget.
Woods produced a scintillating finish to take top spot ahead of fellow Americans Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele and Brooks Koepka.
It's probably one of the coolest things to be part of it. You know, you finish second place, you know, you're a little bummed out. I wouldn't want it any other way. I can leave saying gave it my all and he's just good.
But there was disappointment for overnight leader Francesco Molinari, who saw his hopes disappear over a testing back nine.
It is what it is. I'm proud of the week. I fought hard today as well, and I think I made a few new fans today with those two double bogeys.
A full and comprehensive roundup of the first major of the year to come as we look back at what has to be one of the most amazing golf stories of all time. Alongside me, I'm joined by former European Tour winner, a winner of the Triumvirate, of course. All three stages of the European Tour are in the back pocket of Paul Eales, as well as presenter, journalist, commentator, and well-known voice on the Race to Dubai Show, Richard Kaufman. Fellas, how are you?
Yeah, great shape, Rob. Thank you. And what a night that was, watching the Masters and Tiger coming through.
Rich, for you?
Yeah, just still coming to terms with it, really. I don't know if numb's the right word, but Tiger. Should we be surprised? I don't think so, really.
No Tiger Woods conversation, chat or look back revision could be complete without the voice of Bob Bubka, a friend and confidant himself of Tiger Woods and the biggest Tiger fan in the world. Bob, how are you? Must be elated.
Well, it was absolutely incredible. And you know what I started to think? They pushed the tee times up because they anticipated some thunderstorms to move into the Augusta area. Well, they didn't materialize, but we certainly had plenty of electricity on the ground with the exploits of Tiger Woods.
Bob, you were there at Augusta. What was the vibe like?
Absolutely incredible. Felt more like a football match or a baseball game. I mean, the cheers of Tiger walking off that 72nd hole. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And just moments after that, at Fenway Park, one of the most legendary baseball stadiums in the world, the center field scoreboard went green, and then it was posted. Tiger Woods wins 2019 Masters. I mean, absolutely unbelievable.
Well, time to get the superlatives at the ready. We try and put it all into context. What happened at the 2019 Masters? These are the facts. Tiger Woods finished on 13 under par to claim a one-shot win over Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka and Xander Schauffele, the Open champion and overnight leader Francesco Molinari, who had not put a foot wrong all week long, was a further shot back at 11 under alongside Jason Day, Webb Simpson and Tony Finau. It was Woods' fifth Masters win, fifth green jacket and his 15th major victory. Not bad for someone who 5 minutes ago was outside the world's number 1,000th player, Paul Eales.
Yeah, quite remarkable, Rob, wasn't it? And all the stuff that's gone along there with his personal life and then, of course, the surgeries that he's had. I mean, for him to actually be upright, if you listen to all the medics that that tell you what's gone on there with Tiger's body, and for him to come out and look so calm, I couldn't believe just how calm he was. Obviously, he's gone back into the, you know, I've been world number one, I've won all these majors, you know, this is what I do type of headspace. And he was as calm could be. He really did look, after the tee shot on 11 that went a little bit astray down the right, bit of luck there, he didn't put a foot wrong after that.
I'm going to say, Rich, that anyone who comes out now and says, I knew Tiger, when he was broken, the back was in bits, the game was hopeless, when he was at an all-time low, I'm going to say that anyone who says that they said back then he could come back and win another major is a liar. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to say, I doubted it big time. April 2017, when you saw that photo of him after he'd been arrested, after the chipping yips, after walking off the course in Dubai. If you'd have told me then within 2 years he's going to walk away with a fifth green jacket, you would think it was some far-stretched story, really. I mean, the rise over the last 18 months. I mean, because if you'd have told me back in November, I would have said, yes, it's a distinct possibility. But you go back to the Masters of 2017, where he struggled not to play because, of course, he didn't tee up. He struggled to make the champions' dinner. That's how bad it was for him. He could hardly walk to the scene that we saw on the 18th, you know, hugging his children and smiling and shouting and screaming and punching the air. I mean, it's just been an incredible transformation in 24 months.
Once he won the Tour Championship, everything was back on. That changed it completely. But Bob, back in the day when he was a few years ago, down and out, everything in his personal life was difficult. The back was broken and his game was in tatters. Don't tell me that you said, you were one of the few dissenting voices that said, Tiger Woods can come back from this and win a 15th major.
Looking back, I certainly wish I had had the courage to make that statement, but there were too many obstacles, I thought, in Tiger's way. It wasn't just the physical problems. Certainly, mentally, he was broken. I mean, the scandals that were being passed about. I mean, it was a very, very difficult time for Tiger. But I think he had some added inspiration during the final round, because he made a phone call to his daughter after Saturday's round, and he found out from her that her team, football or soccer as we call it, lost in the finals of the state championship, and she really was heartbroken. And then Tiger said, would you like to come to Augusta? And she said, we'd love to, Daddy. And so Charlie and Sam, his daughter and son, came to Augusta yesterday for the very first time, which I found absolutely amazing that they had never been here. So when Tiger teed off, he knew that his son and daughter were going to be waiting for him when he walked off that last green, and I think he was hell-bent not to disappoint them.
You know, when you talk about legacy and everything that Tiger's achieved in the game, maybe that little bit with his kids on his way to doing his scorecard is the greatest legacy of all. He got to perform at the highest level, despite all he's been through, and have his kids there to witness it.
Yeah, it puts things in perspective, doesn't it? That he's trying to win, but he is a dad, he's a human being. He's got all those feelings, and you know, I'm sure they were bubbling away in the back of his mind. But he was just as Tiger was, totally focused on winning a golf tournament.
Rich, have you ever seen Tiger as excited as that?
No, I haven't. But obviously, we've got to. I mean, I'm hugest fan of Tiger Woods. I was with Bob when he won at Pebble Beach.
Is that a word, hugest? Is that a word? I'm not
one
sure.
One of the biggest fans.
Okay.
Well, up there with them, I suppose. Is it a word, hugest?
I don't think hugest is a word.
It is. I've nailed it. I was with Bob. I was with Bob at Pebble Beach. Bob, do you remember 2000 when Tiger won by, 15 shots? He was 12 under par. The next was 3 over par. And Bob, I don't know if you got to interview Tiger after the round yesterday, but I never forget the time when you were the only radio journalist who was allowed to speak to Tiger after he won at Pebble Beach, that US Open, and we followed him in to his car, and we sat in the back of the car, and Tiger's on the phone and goes, and he's talking to someone, says, thank you, yep, thank you so much.
What do you mean we?
I was there with Bob. I just was his shadow following into the back of the car. So we sat in the back of the car and Tiger's on the phone and goes, yep, thank you very much. Yep, that's great. Yep, thank you, Mr. President. Put the phone down and went, okay, Bob, we're ready. And Bob came in and said, talk about intimidation.
Yeah, but everything in ascending order. You start with the president, you end up with Bob Bubka. Bob, you're at the top of the game and the top of your game. Just in your own words, tell us what it means for golf, what he achieved yesterday, and what may still be to come.
You know, Robert Lee, that's such a great question. And I think all of us that cover the sport of golf, it's going to take a little bit of time. I don't think we could process what this victory is going to mean, not just for the current generation, for young kids everywhere that got an opportunity to watch Tiger when obviously no one thought that we would ever be blessed to have that again. And Richard, I remember that distinctly. It's the only time in my career that somebody said goodbye to the president and then asked me what I wanted. So
that was Bill Clinton, who was the president at the time. So in all seriousness, because I know you haven't slept, and given the early time, it must be almost 48 hours now that you've been awake, Bob. Did you speak to Tiger afterwards?
I did not. I had so many commitments that I couldn't get away to, you know, actually speak to him. I will, though. I mean, I go way back with Tiger. And, you know, when that winning putt went in, the memories of Tiger flooded into my mind. And I remember back in 1996, one of the first times that I ever met Tiger, I was at the Valero Texas Open. Tiger finished on the 18th green. I approached him and said, could I have a couple of minutes? He said, yeah, sure. He said, just meet me up at the scorer's trailer. Well, he got in a cart and he went up virtually, I think now it seems like a mountain, but it was at least a couple hundred yards up this hill. And back in 1996, I just sprinted up that hill. Now, it'd probably take me a day and a half to get up that very same hill. But, you know, and then, of course, I'll never forget when I got I didn't show up at his event in California. Janice, the producer, went, and Tiger saw her, and Tiger said, Janice, where's Bob? And she said, well, he had to go in the hospital. Routine test, though, he's fine. And Tiger tells Janice, get him on the phone. Next thing, I'm laying in the hospital in New York. Phone rings. I pick it up. He says, how you doing, man? I said, who is this? He said, how you doing, man? I said, come on, who is this? He said, it's Tiger. I said, damn it, you trying to give me a heart attack? He said, no, I just wanted to make sure you were all right. I told the nurse that it was Tiger Woods. She didn't believe me. She had the doctor come in and say, Mr. Bubka, I think you may be delusional. We're going to have to check you over. So Tiger, what he's done for golf and the manner in which he has done it. It hurt all of us when he fell from grace. There is no doubt about that. And it was painful even to see Tiger. But that's all behind him now. You know, we have nothing but bright things to look forward to with Tiger. And here's one, guys. Best I could research overnight. When Tiger goes to Bethpage for the PGA Championship, he'll have an opportunity to win two majors on the same golf course. And I don't think that's ever been done before.
Do you think, Bob, that Tiger now, because when he was in his pomp, he was pretty isolated. He didn't give you too much. He was just in that Tiger zone, the Tiger bubble. No one really got in there. Do you think because the world has sort of shared his ups and downs up until this point, he's possibly even more popular now because of the win yesterday?
I think he is more popular, but just think of it this way. It's a lot easier on Tiger now, because when he was guarded with the press, we later found out the massive amount of secrets that he actually was keeping from us. And so he had to be nervous in any of those press conferences by saying something that may tip somebody off. So he very rarely said anything but, you know, what the script was. I could have done any one of, and I think Richard could too, you could, Robert Lee, any one of us could have done a Tiger Woods press conference, because we knew the answers, because he always gave the same answers to the questions. But we didn't have any idea that he really was hiding stuff from us. But ultimately, we found that out. Now he's freed up. I think he's ready to, I don't know, I'm not ready to jump on him passing Jack Nicklaus quite yet. I'm going to have to sit on that one a little while. I mean, because, you know, winning this major was huge, but winning three more just to tie Jack, wow, that's a big ask.
Let me just tell the three of you, share with the three of you how my evening unfolded last night. So I had to work in the morning doing TV, so I couldn't go to Sunday Mass on Sunday morning, and I couldn't go the Saturday night. So the only Mass available to me was the 6 o'clock show, 6 o'clock Mass last night. When Tiger was on the 13th tee, I had to put the TV into record, go to Mass, turn all my notifications off on the phone, come back at about 7:15, then put the TV back on, start from the 13th tee. So now it's all over. I know it's happened, and I was fighting with myself. Do I want to see, did Tiger win, did Tiger win? So I'm watching 2 hours of golf on record until I actually found out that Tiger won the thing. And I nearly ruined it for myself. Oh, just get it over with. Has he won? No, I stayed with it, watched it all the way through until the end. So I watched everything a two-hour delay.
Did you hit the forward button at all?
Only at the ads.
Only at the ads.
Only for 1 minute.
Because you must be tempted to, like,
1 minute.
It's like that scene from The Likely Lads, which is an old British sitcom when he doesn't know the football score.
That's right.
And he's trying to avoid the football score.
And everyone. And it was. I got to admit, Bob, I was almost tearful when I saw those scenes at the end. Did a little tear come into the corner of your eye?
No, but what I was thinking...
No, you're an emotional man. What happened?
Wait a minute. What I was thinking when you told your tale, so Tiger Woods was on the 13th tee. He was praying for victory. Robert Lee was in church praying himself. So that's your connection to Tiger forever. You two were praying together.
Praying for the same thing.
Although miles apart.
There you go. Praying for the same thing. Yeah, it was incredible. Bob mentioned it, Richard. The conversation is going to be a real one now. 15 for Tiger, 18 for Jack. Call it.
No, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't call it. The thing is, we're talking about a guy who 2 years ago could hardly walk. If he stays fit and healthy, if all things say equal, then I think he can. I think he can get to 19. But is he going to... I mean, this back fusion. I mean, it seems a miracle that he can swing it the way he can, that he can get the swing speed that he's able to do, that he can drive the ball, it seems, as well as ever. His iron play, obviously, was outstanding throughout the week. I think he was number one in greens in regulation, according to the stats. But it's so hard to know. I mean, 2 years ago, how could we see this story develop as it has? In 2 years' time, where's it going to be? So it's hard from that perspective to be able to say with any real precision.
Yeah, I don't think even the medics know what's going to happen with the procedures that they've done on his back as to how long that's going to be. Let's just hope that Tiger does stay healthy. I believe that his golf yesterday afternoon from the second shot into 11 was as good, almost as perfect in that situation as I've ever seen.
The second shot into 11?
Yeah, from that moment onwards, everything was spot on. His golf swing...
Got away with it at 13, didn't he?
Ish.
I don't think he went through the trees at all, to finish where it did.
Well, the tracer showed it was heading towards the tree.
It was on the tight line, but it wasn't... I mean, you catch those trees, you don't end up in the middle of the fairway where he was, miles down. You don't end up there.
Bear in mind Saturday, 9, 11, 13? I mean, you need a bit of luck, don't you, on your way to winning a major?
How accurate are those tracers? We know where the ball finished and it was perfect.
Yeah, 11, 2 days in a row he had that perfect funnel line.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you need some of that, but that's not like how Tiger won these majors before, was it? He was scattergun all over the place.
He swashbuckled more before, he did.
Absolutely, Rob. Yeah. And he was holing putts. This time, he didn't need to hole putts. His long game was...
He's like a machine on that back nine.
He was. It was as good as Molinari was for the whole round on Saturday, Tiger was from 11 coming in.
And bringing it in when it counts in the last nine holes.
Absolutely top draw stuff.
He was amazing.
Brilliant.
He was amazing. Let's hear from the latest winner of the Green Jacket, the man who owns 15 major championships, Tiger Woods.
Just unreal. You know, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. Coming here in 95 for the first time and being able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later, be able to do it again. And just the way it all transpired today, there were so many different scenarios that could have transpired on that back nine. There were so many guys who had a chance to win. Leaderboard was absolutely packed and everyone was playing well. So you couldn't have had more drama than what we all had out there. And just to come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week, and to do it here. This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget. My dad shouldn't have come in 97. I mean, he had heart complications and wasn't supposed to fly, but he flew and came and gave me a putting lesson on Wednesday night, and you know, the rest is history. My dad's no longer here, but my mom's here 22 years later. You know, I happened to win the tournament, and then to have both Sam and Charlie here. They were there at the British Open last year when I had the lead, you know, on that back nine, and I made a few mistakes and cost myself a chance to win the Open title. I wasn't going to let that happen to them twice. And so for them to see what it's like to have their dad win a major championship, I hope that's something they'll never forget.
Do you know, I'm going to say something, I'm going to put something to you, Bob, that before Tiger got back to hitting balls at full pelt, obviously at the start of this run that has just culminated in winning the Masters, he was in the backroom team at President's Cup. He was a vice captain. Something happened there. You know, he was giving advice to all the young players that were in the team. Tiger was the go-to guy. They were going to their hero. He realized how loved he was. There was something that happened there in that background that I think made him look at himself a little differently and realize, do you know what? I must be doing something right, because all these guys, You know, they're coming to me for a reason. They like me, maybe even love me. And I don't know. I think that was part of his rehabilitation. What say you?
Well, I'll say this much, Robert Lee. I think that certainly came into play. But what tickled me, when Tiger was at his lowest, many of the superstars were heard making the comment, boy, I wish Tiger would get better. I would love to compete against Tiger at his best. I mean, that would be so much fun. And the only one that hit the nail right on the head was David DeVal, because every time one of those young guns would say to David, boy, I hope Tiger gets back. Yeah. I'd love to compete against him. David DeVal said, hell no, you don't. Yeah. So, and he was right. I mean, no, you don't. You don't want to go against Tiger. When look, he's far from his best this past week, and it was still good enough to win. So how good was he?
Do you know what? I know the physical comeback has been incredible. The back fusion, we've talked about that. It's a difficult operation. Does it have longevity? Can something else go wrong? We don't know. But I would say the golfing, the comeback with his golf is just as big, just as huge, Paul, because he was at sixes and sevens with it.
Yes, he was. I mean, he was totally lost, changing coaches. He seems to have settled down now. He finds a golf swing. You look at the pictures, not that I'm an expert on the technical side, but you can see the golf ball tells you what you've done prior to that. And Tiger's play and his control over the golf ball.
The driver especially.
Especially, yeah, it was phenomenal. The putting stroke still looks the same, but the ball's not going in the hole. As often as it did.
But Robert, Paul, you're both former European Tour players. Paul, you're still playing on the seniors tour in Europe. The chipping, to go from where he was with the chipping.
Well, we found out that the yips was not the yips. The yips was flinching. It was flinching because of the pain in the back. Every time he got to that sort of bent over, semi-putting position, not very much movement, it was a flinch with the, it was one of those. So it wasn't the guy. The guy's come back because he'd never had the yips. Guy's come back because the body's now not painful. That's
so that, simple as that. It's
yes,
just a pain thing.
That, because we watched that. Golf watchers, golf pros all over the world watched Tiger dumping chips right in front of him, simple shots. And you're thinking, well, that his nerve's gone completely. Transpires that in the action of hitting the chip shot, you know, at the moment, he was getting that twinge, and that's what it was. Once the back got cured, well, the yips just disappeared overnight. So what looked to everybody else in the golfing world as another problem to have to get over.
Sure.
You know, if you've got the heebie-jeebies with a wedge around the greens, look at people who like Martin Kaymer and Cabrera Bayer to a lesser extent. You've got trouble chipping. It's a big, big issue.
Well, it takes time, Rich. Once you've not played for a while, the first thing that goes is that little touch around the green. The longer stuff is a little bit easier. So it took him time once he started to play again to get those soft bits going again. And clearly now he has done.
You happy with that, Rich?
Yeah, no, that's an explanation I wanted to hear. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know it was purely down to the
back. Well, when we watched it, you know, at his own tournament, The Hero, and there are other plenty of examples where he was shanking bunker shots you never saw from Tiger Woods. Simple little chip shots that he was fatting time and time again, and it was him flinching. I mean, if you've got that nerve pinch coming in at the wrong time, there's not much you can do about it. It's like someone, you know, stabbing you with a sharp scissors as you're trying to just, you know, with that touch and feel that you need. Thankfully for him, that's what it was. And because it's a lot harder to come back from the yips when you're chipping than probably some of the other stuff that he's overcome. So that wasn't an issue, thankfully for him. And we saw him hit some beautiful chip shots this week. A little bit of social media reaction, sometimes I call it. Let's take a look at what people have said. President Barack Obama said, congratulations, Tiger, to come back and win after all the highs and lows is testament to excellence, grit and determination. Serena Williams said, I'm literally in tears watching Tiger Woods. This is greatness like no other, knowing all you have been through physically to come back and do what you just did today. Wow. Congrats a million times. I'm so inspired by you, buddy. Bob could actually say buddy, probably the only one of us three that could say buddy to Tiger. Tom Brady said, congrats, Tiger, what a performance. LeBron James, these are all the greats, by the way, in their sports. I salute you, Tiger Woods, inspired. Just incredible. Jack Nicklaus, a big well done from me to Tiger Woods. I'm so happy for him and for the game of golf. This is just fantastic. Philly Mick said, what a great moment for the game of golf. I'm so impressed by Tiger Woods' incredible performance. I mean, there are millions and millions of these. We're just giving you a few. I'm so happy for him to capture another green jacket. truly a special day that will go down in history. Congratulations, Tiger. And Rory McIlroy, who was going there to complete the career Grand Slam, which Tiger's done three times and has Jack, said, "Very few people really know what Tiger Woods has been through to get back to this point. So cool seeing him with Teda, Sam, Charlie, Erica, and the rest of the team behind the 18th green. Couldn't be happier for him. What a great day for golf." And I think, Bob, that's the sort of feeling that everybody in this world thinks. It was just a great day, not only for Tiger Woods, but for golf.
That's the major accomplishment. It's not that it's the 15th major. It's not that it's his fifth green jacket. It's the fact that he gave golf a real shot in the arm. And you know, if more people definitely going to at least experiment with it. We all know that once you get that golf bug, you know, you keep it for a lifetime. So that's the major contribution, as far as I'm concerned, with that victory by Tiger. Just good for the game. And the game is good for whoever plays it.
Our broadsheets this morning, which are normally riddled with political intrigue, have got Tiger Woods on the front, Paul. How much does he move the needle? And is he likely now to move the needle for a new generation of people?
Let's hope so. In my lifetime, there's never been anybody move the needle like Tiger Woods in the world of golf. And I think Bob alluded to this when Tiger was out of circulation, the game suffered. And now there's a whole new generation coming through. Hopefully, we'll look at what Tiger's done, listen to the story, and move this game forward again.
A couple of things on that. You were reading out the list of greats in sport and politics, if you're talking about Barack Obama. Did you see the shot at 16 when Tiger obviously hit that incredible tee shot that almost went at 16? Standing right behind the tee was the most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps, screaming like an excited little kid. I mean, to someone who's won I don't know how many gold medals at the Olympics, to get that excited watching another sportsman was incredible to see. And also, I think when you're talking about the papers, I think the early start obviously didn't help people in Australia, because they always normally have their Masters breakfast, don't they, on a Monday morning.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a Masters breakfast.
Yeah, well, I know you did a great job on Sky Sports with that, but Rob, it killed it, because it ended up being the middle of the night in Australia. But it meant, for young kids, certainly in Europe watching, and it's always the way in America, and obviously, but it meant they didn't have to be up till midnight to watch. So in terms of young kids being inspired and watching Tiger Woods, yeah, there'll be plenty, I would have thought, around the TV sets across Europe watching and being inspired. You know, the way that other players may have been inspired watching Nick Faldo back in, you know, the early 90s.
Yeah, the other thing, Bob, 10 o'clock news last night on the BBC, the lead story was Tiger Woods winning the Masters again, so... That sums it up, doesn't it?
If the BBC can put Tiger Woods at the front of their newscast, that's pretty big, isn't it?
That's pretty big.
Yeah. So, Bob, you know, going forward for Tiger, for the game, what do you see?
Well, I see nothing but good things. I mean, everybody now, the attention is shifted to the second major of the year coming up in May, the PGA Championship. And one other thing, I'm not so sure you guys are aware of it. Maybe you are. You know, when Tiger was having all those problems with the back, I mean, he was absolutely desperate. He flew to England and consulted with somebody that recommended this fusion, telling him, look, it's going to be risky, but in this doctor's opinion, it was the only chance that Tiger had. Tiger was willing to take the gamble because at that juncture, it was almost do or die. He ends up flying to Texas, having the procedure done, and now we see the fruits of that procedure. I mean, golly, I mean, he's swinging the golf club so beautifully now.
Oh, he is, Bob.
It's almost scary.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that before the Masters, how well he was swinging the club and how well he was playing. And nobody gets Augusta like him. He's got an advantage over everybody else because he just understands that golf course more than anybody that plays golf. So he's always got that to go back to. And we've seen him perform well after long hiatuses with not much game. He's gone there and contended. So You know, the whole week just fell into place for him. We should actually talk about some of the other people because it wasn't just the Tiger Woods show. He needed the leading players to have a crack at him, and they did. Let's get some reaction from the rest of the leaderboard. As we know, the back nine saw a whole host of top players in contention, and one of those was multiple major winner Brooks Koepka.
That was probably the coolest back nine in a major championship I've ever been a part of, or just in golf in general. I think with so many guys going up and down, you know, the lead's kind of changing hands depending on what hole you're on. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it was amazing to be a part of. It was quite fun. And I mean, I watch the leaderboard all the time just to see where guys are at, see what they're doing. And we already knew Tiger was back, but I think he just put the exclamation point on that. It's probably one of the coolest things to be a part of it, even though, you know, you finished second place, you know, you're a little bummed out, but it's, I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, you want to play against the best to ever play. You want to go toe-to-toe with him, and I can leave saying I gave it my all, and he's just good, man. I don't know what to say.
Pretty cool for Brooks Koepka. He had his mum caddy for him in the par three competition, and we know his prowess in the majors is unbelievable. And he was one of the players that were involved in the whole stramash on the back nine. When he dumped it in the water at 12, you think, well, Brooks has gone. Straight back at the next
straight,
with an eagle.
Straight back with an eagle. And that's what great champions do. And, you know, he again, the experience of Brooks being around and winning major championships, you know, he knew there was still two par fives to come and he was still very much in there. And, of course, unfortunately for him, he just fell a little short, didn't he?
Why, Bob, isn't Brooks getting the plaudits that he deserves?
His talents are absolutely incredible. I mean, you don't win back-to-back U.S. Opens. I mean, the first time that's been done since 88 and 89 when Curtis Strange accomplished that feat, and then he adds the PGA Championship, very much in the hunt here at this Masters. I mean, he has an abundance of talent, and he's a very hardworking guy, but probably a little bit on the shy side. And you know, and he likes it that way. I mean, you know, he's making millions of dollars. He's doing what he truly loves. Spends a lot of time in the gym with Dustin Johnson. I mean, reports come out of West Palm that in Palm Beach Gardens that, you know, 3 to 4 hour sessions is nothing for those guys in the gym. I mean, you look at him. I mean, he's as chiseled as Robert Lee was in his heyday. You know, you can't help. I mean, he's going to keep winning. There's no doubt about that. And pretty soon, everybody will have the respect for him that he rightfully deserves already.
Did you know, Rich, that recently he was restricting himself to 1,800 calories a day and double timing in the gym to get himself super buffed because he was doing a naked shoot, a naked photo shoot for a magazine? Obviously, with certain things making everything very tasteful, but he was in the buff. Did you know that?
I did not know that. But listen, he's rather him than some of the other golfers out there on the PGA
Tour. Who would you least
tour.
Like to see naked then?
there's a long list. Just going back to that that quote from Brooks Koepka talking about, you know, the noise that was going around when Tiger was in contention. I haven't actually seen the clip, but I've heard that when he was on the 17th tee, Tiger hit his tee shot at 16, and Brooks was about to he backed off, and you know the noise got bigger as obviously it nearly went in. If Brooks had made one of those putts, he had makeable putts at 17 and 18. You know, he could have done it again.
He's that good.
It's an incredible run he has at the majors in particular. He's a big time player for sure.
He's a brilliant player, Brooks Koepka. Also playing some wonderful golf during the week and came up just shy was the champion golfer of the year, Francesco Molinari.
I think the attitude was good. It was a tough day, yeah, with the win, never really got it going. But, you know, it was the same pretty much for everyone, just trying to scramble for par and then taking advantage of the par fives. Yeah, 12, just a bad swing and then good reaction, 13 and 14 and 15. It just made a mess of the hole. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I'm proud of the week. I fought hard today as well, and I think I made a few new fans today with those two double bogeys.
He's going to be disappointed, Paul. That's fair enough. But you know what? At the very pinnacle of a sport, it's very difficult to just do enough to beat everybody else. He's got to be proud of what he achieved.
Oh, for sure. And he's got a good backroom staff around him. Hopefully it's not going to take him too long to recover because the way he played on the Saturday, it was machine-like.
Flawless, wasn't it?
It was flawless.
Yeah, it was flawless.
You thought there is no way Francesco cannot win this, particularly as he was holing all those putts. I think he went 49 holes without dropping a shot, which is kind of a record, isn't it, I think?
He's been only five bogeys in the last, I don't know, many hundreds of holes it was. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then, of course, he plays a great shot onto the 11th green in that final round.
A brilliant shot, a risky one.
And then what happens at 12? He dumps it in the water, and that was really the start, and it really did deflate him, and he just didn't have enough to get back, because I think everything was going so well for him at that moment in time that it was kind of a shock to the system.
Did you think, Rich, it was going to be a Molinari green jacket before the final round? He looked favourite, didn't he?
He was, but there were so many quality players around. I hardly, was putting one arm in the sleeves, to give him the green jacket. It was just interesting. In those last two groups, what was it, four of the last six players went into the water at 12? I don't know if the wind picked up, because obviously I wasn't there.
It only needs a puff. That's all you need, because there's very little game.
Porter said he hit a good shot at 12.
Yeah, because Webb hit eight in the back section between the two bunkers. So Pulse hit the same club 40, 50 seconds later, and it didn't make the
Kepka,
journey.
Kepka, Finau, Poulter, Molinari, they all went in.
And the thing about 12, it hadn't been a problem all week long, Bob, because there hadn't been any wind. No one was knocking in the water.
Well, absolutely. But as you accurately said, Robert, and you certainly know that in that situation there, the margin of error is so small. A little puff gets you at the wrong time, and you come up short. I mean, years and years ago, most good players came up through the caddy ranks. Francisco Molinari had a chance to slip on a green jacket after going around Augusta in a white caddy bib when in 06 he caddied for his brother who had won the U.S. Amateur. So that was going to be a major story.
Yeah, and who did they play with, Bob?
Tiger Woods.
Correct.
Absolutely. And then there was some, after the elation of Tiger claiming victory, a lot of the past champions were heard to say, boy, we missed out on some champions dinner next year. If Molinari had won, it would probably have been the best champions dinner of all time.
It would certainly have been better than Patrick Reed's, by the way.
Francesco Molinari, one night we did a little piece on Sky Sports, and I had to go around to Dennis Pugh, his coach. He's got a flat in Putney. It's not cheap, by the way. And Francesco cooked dinner. It was all part of the piece that we did, but he cooked spaghetti bolognese, but I don't mean he got a tin and he got the meatballs already made or whatever and the sauce already in a packet. He prepared the whole thing from scratch. Very impressive, Bob.
Well, that's what I had heard. That's why I said that. I mean, that would have been some dinner. But hey, who's to say that Molinari can't come back and win a Masters? But boy, when you start looking at the depth of talent at the top of this game right now, it's almost scary. I mean, we've done this whole show. We haven't even mentioned Tony Finau. Tony Finau it seems like he could run away with the Masters. We talked about Brooks Koepka. I feel a little bad for Ian Poulter because, believe it or not, early in that fourth and final round, had a couple of breaks going Ian's way, could be a different story. Still finished in 12th place, which gets him an invitation for next year if he didn't qualify through any other fashion. But, he certainly had a good tournament. The guy that you really feel bad for, and I think the guy that left Augusta, scratching his head, it's got to be Adam Scott. He must have missed 12 putts inside 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah, he missed a lot.
He couldn't beg the ball into the hole. And now what does he do? What's he going to try? He's tried everything in the world. If somebody could come up with a putting solution for Adam Scott, I think he could ride again.
You know who the most relieved man is, Bob, don't you?
Who's that, Richard?
The police officer on Friday that took Tiger out. What a tackle that was. That was, anyone knows their football, that was Vinnie Jones.
The officer tried to pull out the tackle.
He
pulled out. It would have been a foul, but no more than that.
Yellow card?
VAR, yellow card.
Yellow card,
because he came flying in.
Zach Johnson's tee shot at 13, anyone enjoy that?
That was funny, yeah. He went to a sort of practice swipe and he clipped the ball and then it hit the tee marker and bounced left.
The reaction was brilliant, wasn't it?
Very strange thing. We haven't talked about, Paul, is Xander Schauffele. And what a brilliant young player he is. Again, amongst all the hoo-ha that we're talking here, we haven't mentioned him.
No, we haven't. And I was lucky enough to follow Xander with Maddie Adams at Carnoustie.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd seen him sort of up close and personal. And he's got a lot of length for a short.
He hits it a long way.
And so straight. And he looks as though he's got a superb attitude to
great
it. You know, he laughs away and he has a great relationship with the caddy there. And I think big things are certainly going to come for Xander.
No doubt, a man on the way up. What about Rory McIlroy? Probably after winning the Players, the form guy coming into the Masters, the golf course that suits him, maybe other than Tiger Woods the most. Never really happened.
No, he got off to a poorish. He made too many mistakes, didn't he? And it's the mistakes that kill you, not the great shots that win championships. It's the mistakes you don't make. Rory, whatever it was, he just made too many on that first day. 73, I think he shot first round.
Yeah, you can't give silly bogeys and doubles to that golf course, because in the end, after 72 holes, it catches up with you. Rory, Richard, for you. It's going to happen?
Yeah, it will happen. There's too much class there. I did feel, if you know, my opinion before the Masters, that it just seemed too perfect. The form seemed too good. In a way, I wish he hadn't won the Players, because I felt that form was building up nicely to win at the Masters. Kind of won a couple of weeks too early. You do wonder whether the Grand Slam thing becomes something that mentally becomes something he wants too much. Listen, only Rory really knows the answer to that, but you do wonder whether there is extra pressure as a result of trying to join, you know, an illustrious list.
Do you know, Bob, you know, Rory can be wasteful around Augusta, and even the great players can't afford to do that. Maybe if he has a look at how Tiger Woods closed out that back nine and how he played away from certain flags and how he kept jeopardy at bay, that would be a lesson to him in how to get it done and how to be able to produce four consistent rounds around Augusta.
Yeah, and he could take a lesson from Ben Hogan, who constantly said that it was not, you know, the quality of your good shots that win golf tournaments. It's the quality of your bad shots. And I think, you know, we all know that Rory McIlroy is capable of hitting, you know, the greatest of great golf shots, but he's got to work on his mistakes. And Tiger even talked about that in his winning interview. Around Augusta National, you have to pick your target, and you also have to pick, well, if I don't hit that target, I am definitely going to be on the right, or I'm definitely going to be on the left, but I'm not going to go to the wrong side where a little mistake gets compounded.
Big names missed the cut who were fancied to do well. Let's start with the world number one, Justin Rose, Paul Eales.
Yeah, very, very strange performance from Justin Rose again. Just didn't happen for him. He was missing putts that you'd never seen him miss. Didn't get any momentum. And, you know, that was a real shock for me, because I thought Justin was primed and ready to pick a green jacket up.
Do you think, like, you can almost put Rory in this category, do you think, Richard, the notion of peaking for a major is rubbish?
Yeah, well, although Brooks Koepka seems to do it every single time.
He just plays well at majors, but yeah. Other people, you know, I'm planning my year, I don't
Tiger
want to do this,
used to
do
say
that,
though,
do this,
didn't
do
he?
That.
Tiger used to say it, and you do wonder when you look at the way Tiger played the match play and the type of golf he was playing, whether he was kind of getting himself ready. I know Jeff Shackelford, he did a tournament preview where he picked Tiger Woods and used that example of the way that he played the match play as a reason why he thought Tiger would do well at Augusta National. But yeah, I can't go for that. I mean, how do you...
Paul Casey,
let's talk
about him.
Yeah.
He won the Valspar in fantastic style to
got
defend.
Great, great
everything's going well.
The Masters.
Loves Augusta.
Yeah.
And yet, it shot 150 over.
10 over par. I mean, you wouldn't see... I mean, he was five or six over par after about half a dozen holes. I mean, it's incredible.
And yeah. Sergio Garcia, Bob, for you, that was probably a surprise as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do you say about Sergio that hasn't already been said? Oh, by the way, my phone is ringing. It's Tiger. All right, I'll tell these guys I have to go. I'll be
Tiger
right with
will
you,
wait,
Mr.
surely.
Woods.
Tiger's going to wait. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Put
but
him on
anyway,
hold.
it has been a, you know, wonderful opportunity to talk Tiger with three fine gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Okay, Bob, sleep well.
Bob, thanks very much for joining us, pal. And as always, your input is so, so valued over here. And particularly as you are almost family to Tiger Woods, it's been extra special.
Thank you, Robert. I got to think about that compliment.
Take care, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
You got it, guys.
You can always tell. I know we always say it about Bob, but when Bob in golf, he's seen everything for, you know, half a century. But when you just add Tiger Woods into the mix with him, there's just a bit more that you get from Bob. You just get a little bit more. Ratchet, Bob plus.
Ratchets up a little bit.
It does. Yeah. And so it should.
But I like the way, because, I mean, obviously, Bob is the hugest fan. Again, he used that word.
Hugest.
I used it again just for you, Rob, of Tiger. But it's not just sycophantic. He sees his flaws, you know, these self-inflicted wounds. But in a way, it just makes the story even bigger and even greater than it would be if it just been a simple, plain upward path.
It's really the full story of redemption for Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
everything. You know, the Hogan story, the car crash, back from absolutely nowhere, never going to play again, to become and continue to be the best player alive was just incredible. And this is equally as incredible.
If you lose something the way that Tiger did, not many people get the chance to actually to win it back and have that moment that he had with his kids and everything. I think he put it, didn't he, after people talking about him hugging his dad, it was the complete full circle.
Bob had to disappear in a hurry there. It was obviously, you know, maybe the president was on, or one of them.
Yes.
Because, you know, once you're an ex-president, you're still a president.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bob keeps that sort of company, so he's gone. He was just tidying up Sergio Garcia there, which was, again, like Casey and Justin Rose, expected to play well. Doesn't always happen, does it?
No, and for such
a... It's not like a menu.
No, for such a fine ball striker as Sergio, we kind of used to him being there or thereabouts, aren't we? Although, was it last year he dumped all those balls in the water at 15?
15, yeah.
The Augusta course demands great ball striking, and I think something like the last five winners have been in the top two strokes gained of approach shots. So, and Sergio is right up there with his iron play. He sticks it closer to the flag than most week in, week out. So, again, a huge surprise. I really did think Sergio was going to run up really close to getting another green jacket.
Francesco Molinari and John Rahm, Richard, were in the top 10, bereft of Europeans apart from those two.
Yeah, John Rahm, I heard his comments afterwards, said it was kind of bittersweet, didn't feel his long game was where it should be, never really felt in contention, but was, on the other hand, proud that he could get it round, shot 68 final round, still finished top 10. I think that is a course. If you look at his scores, I think he played brilliantly the last three rounds last year as well. I think that is a course that suits his game. I think John Rahm will win a major sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he may well win in a month's time at the PGA at Bethpage Black. Also, congratulations to Victor Hovland of Norway, who was the top amateur. He finished 3 under par and tied 30 seconds at the Masters, which is just incredible. Paul, top 10, please.
In tied 9th, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Cantlay. Tied 5th, Webb Simpson, Francesco Molinari, Tony Finau and Jason Day. Tied 2nd, Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, and the Masters champion, Tiger Woods.
Okay, let's go to last week's predictions. A reminder of the format, we usually get two picks, one having to be outside the top 50 of last year's Race to Dubai. But given that the event was very special, we waived the selection criteria for this week. 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 if you miss the cut. That's why I went for Paul Casey, who was in great form, and of course he loved MC. He missed the cut, so minus 5 for me on that one. Adam Scott, top 20. So that makes me all square. Jamie Spence went for Justin Rose. Missed cut. World number one. Did not make the cut at Augusta. And Tony Finau, top 5. So he's got 10 points. So he's plus 5. Bob Bubka, Bryson DeChambeau, 29th. And Rory McIlroy, 21st. So nothing for Bob Bubka. So overall, the presenters stay on 120, co-presenters up to 55, and the guests remain on 5 points. In the fancy Race to Dubai game, Evandro Trapletti scored the most points from the Masters, while Stephen Swan remains top of the overall leaderboard. Any good? Did you get anything points-wise?
Probably not, because I would have gone with Rose and McIlroy.
You go with your picks, don't you?
Yeah.
Rich, points for you?
I had John Rahm, so...
Very good.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Top 10, please, Paul, in the Race to Dubai.
Okay, 10th place, Richard Sterney. 9th is Kurt Kitayama. 8th, Xander Schauffele. 7th is Bryson DeChambeau. 6th, Francesco Molinari. 5th, Louis Oosthuizen. 4th is Ian Poulter. 3rd, Justin Harding. 2nd, Shane Lowry. And top of the pile in Europe, Kevin Kisner.
Good effort from Justin Harding at the Masters as well. Only his 3rd ever major championship. pretty decent showing. Richard, top 10 in the world rankings. And where is Tiger Woods?
Well, come to him in a moment. Let's start at number 10, though. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele at number 9. Bryson DeChambeau is at 8. Francesco Molinari staying at number 7. And Tiger Woods, remember, a couple of years ago, outside the top 1,000, now back at number 6 in the world. Justin Thomas is number 5. Rory is down from 3 to 4. Going the other way is Brooks Koepka. Justin Rose slips 1 to 2. Back at world number 1 is Dustin Johnson.
A lot of people probably forget he finished 2nd. Yeah. You know, Dustin Johnson finished 2nd with Brooks Koepka and Xander Schauffele. Under the radar, really.
Yeah, he was sort of there bubbling around. But yeah. He putted brilliantly for the week, didn't he? I think he was right up there in terms of the putting stats, Dustin Johnson.
And had a chance.
He did have a chance coming close, as did Brooks Koepka. But he just couldn't get past Tiger. He had too much about him, didn't he?
Final thoughts on the Masters this year, Rich?
I think it's one that we're going to remember for a long, long time. The one Masters for me as a kid growing up that sticks out was 86. Jack Nicklaus, when he won the Masters at the age of 46. Tiger winning at the age of 43. I wonder, of course, in Jack's terms, it was a swan song. Turned out to be the last. Got a feeling, though, this isn't the last for Tiger Woods.
And for you, Paul?
Yeah, so many human stories, isn't there, from the Masters year after year. I remember Ben Crenshaw 11 years after winning and his coach had just passed away. And Harvey Penick, the emotion that Ben Crenshaw had when he finally holed out. And, of course, the elation that Tiger showed this time with all that's gone on over the past few years. So, fantastic event.
Yeah, it was.
And what about for you, Rob?
Do you know what? As far as Masters goes, that's right up there. I was one of a number of people at the time when I saw how injured and how broken Tiger was and how bad his golf was. I couldn't see a way back for either of those two things. I couldn't see him finding a way to play with the way he was playing golf, and I couldn't see him recovering from spine fusion surgery. And let's remember, at the last President's Cup, he was part of the backroom staff and he could only hit 50-yard chip shots. That's all he could do. And he was still, even at that point, wondering, do you know, will I ever get to hit a full shot again, full swipe in anger? And about a month after that, the doctor said, right, you can go ahead and give it a thrash and see what happens. And here we are.
He's going to be the playing captain at the next President's Cup.
Oh, he's going to, there's no doubt he's going to be the playing captain. And I have to bring in probably another person to put some of the duties onto, because you can't do everything. When you're playing, you're playing. You can't do everything. But Tiger Woods' win, with the emotion that he showed this year at Augusta, was absolutely sensational. I'll never, ever forget it. A bit like Jack in 1986, Tiger Woods 2019. That was a seminal year in Augusta National's history. It really was. It was a pleasure to watch. And a pleasure to have you two boys alongside me as well. That's it. We need to go and lie down. Next week, we'll have a look ahead to the Trophy Hassan Dur in Morocco. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from Paul Eales.
Bye for now.
And Richard Kaufman.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.